Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. The enemy is constantly working to draw our attention away from what matters most. So, we need to focus our eyes, ears, and hearts on God. How do we best do that? Stick around to hear from Pastor Nathan in part 5 of the series Truth Wins, titled Focus Over Distraction.
Well, today we're going to begin our fifth message of 7 on our series Truth Wins. We took a hiatus last week as I talked about the Hezekiah syndrome on Independence Day and the kind of like darting the big drift. And as I was thinking about it this week, I thought that, you know, really that the whole drifting fits into this, all the topics we've been dealing with, because today we're going to deal with the word distraction, and they come in all shapes and sizes. But how many of you know that distractions can really be dangerous? Agreed? Agreed. I mean, you don't have to go very far where you see the signs, don't text and drive. Why is that? Because they know if you're texting and driving that you don't have your full attention to what you're going to be doing, and you could put yourself and others, your family, in harm's way. So we understand that very well. I was hoping this morning when I woke up and it was raining so hard, or somewhere in that time, I thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a downpour right now and then you all would be distracted by the rain hitting the metal roof and I could talk. What are you doing? You're being distracted from listening to God's word today. But that didn't happen. I didn't make that a prayer. I seldom pray that it rains, so I didn't do that. But distractions. I remember I've been doing this full time in one capacity or another since 1979. Yeah. So I was in Cincinnati, Springdale, and then we moved to West Side, and somewhere in there I felt I was a youth pastor and did so many different things, a worship pastor, but I really felt God calling me into the preaching ministry as well. And so my senior pastor, J.K., he started giving me responsibilities. And my very first wedding that I did at Westside, talking, I'm just kind of laying out a distraction. You got to get the picture. I mean, you know, I'd never done it before. I'd been through tons of them. My dad's a pastor, my brothers, and I'd been through many of them, but I'd never stood here. It's a lonely place. Like when you're up here alone and nobody else is there, it's like, you know, that's how you feel sometimes. Would you believe we had long altars like this, but they were much longer sections and hardly immovable. And right in the middle of what I was waxing eloquent or trying to, doing what I needed to do, a little kid got away from his family, and he went to the back wall. It was a wide, and he just ran as fast as he could and started doing belly slides on the altar, seeing how far he could go. And every time he's trying to break his previous record. And how many of you think that the crowd was focused on the front? Where do you think their focus was? And I'm just gritting my teeth. I'm looking for somebody out there, some help, and I'm going, you know, like, would you know, you don't have to be related to the kid. Would you please get them off the altar there? Oh, my lands. Finally, somebody, not his parents, unfortunately, came up and rescued him and me. But distractions are part of our life, whether we know it or not. So I want to address that because it's serious. That's a bit humorous and it's true, but I want to address that because here's the thought, really theme from this to this day, that we have an enemy, Satan, and he's trying to draw our attention away from what matters most, and that is to keep our eyes and our ears and our hearts focused on God. So I'm not going to deal with so much as distractions, but I'm going to get to the point where we deal with the focus of our lives, and I want us to really think about that, because if we don't, we're going to have a tendency to drift. So we've seen in this series that the enemy is he's so crafty, he's so deceptive, and especially by using this subtle tactic of distraction, and whether we know it or not, man, he loves to unleash that in our lives. It could be for so many things. We just saw the video of Kim's My Story, and it was a distraction, and that was one kind. But there's so many distractions that we can face. And what the enemy tries to do, he tries to use something many times that's pleasing to our senses but not pleasing to God. He likes things that have curb appeal, that are attractive, but they don't have God appeal. But he'll never tell us that. Distractions. Have you seen in your own life, have you seen in the lives of those you love, that things that began as seemingly harmless, appealing, whatever harmless, end up with horrible consequences? Really, again, in the Old Testament, all we're reading about the children of Israel, we can be so critical of them and then the two nations when they split. But over and over, they were distracted by other gods. And I jotted that somewhere in my notes, and I'll just say it now, that I got to tell you, beware, because distractions can become idols. Right? Anything that comes between us and God. So be aware. They're not our friends. They're not our friends. Because God knows that our hearts tend to follow our eyes and our ears. So let's be aware of that. So I'm going to go back to a story that Sheldon touched on from God's Word, and we'll draw other scriptures in as well. But it's a great example about distraction. So when I read a story like this, I look for applications right now, because it's hard to be critical of Peter because he did so many things right, but we focus on the few things he did wrong that were recorded for all humanity. How would you like that? To mess up big time and have it recorded so that all the nations in history could read it. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you appreciate that? So let's read that. And I was thinking, this will stimulate your thinking. I've had time to think and prepare, but go through the scripture and look at how many times, Old Testament, New, that people drifted away from their relationship with God because they were distracted. They lost their focus. You just think about it. I mean, I just started writing names and situations down. You could do the same. But I want to jump to Matthew 14, and I want to read several verses there and then make some comments, and I want to hit a little bit about distraction, but then I want to give three things about really maintaining our focus on what matters most. And this is for all of us, wherever we find ourselves today. So I'm going to begin in verse 22. The scripture will be for you to read if you want to have your phone or Bible ready. Immediately after this, a time of great ministry where many had gathered, I'm paraphrasing, Jesus insisted that his disciples, I mean, it wasn't just Jesus, they were serving there with the people, that they get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people alone. Okay, so I just stop right there. Isn't that a neat picture of Jesus? He was always thinking of others, and he was so concerned about the wear and tear on his disciples that he said, you guys go on ahead, but I'm going to stay here. And so, you know, as I go around and hugging people and greeting people, I'm in good company. That's probably what Jesus would do, right? He hung out, and he wanted to say goodbye to the people. That's how that hit my heart, and that's a good example for me to follow. Then let's pick up 23. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. I think with all the distractions and our attention, we're being pulled here, there, and everywhere so many times that we forget that we need to get alone and be recharged. And so I'm drawing from Jesus, and I'm saying in the first verse, if Jesus did that, stay with the people, then I need to do that. If Jesus needed to get away and to recharge, then I need to do that too, because I don't know about you, but as much as I love people, sometimes I'm not completed, I'm depleted, and I have to get away to recharge. Is anybody out there with me? And Jesus gave us that example. And he went alone, obviously, and he spent time in prayer and reflection, all the things that went into that. So verse 24, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land. A strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. And these guys, in that case, they were veterans of the sea and all of that. So, I mean, this was major. And if that wasn't enough, verse 25, about 3 o'clock in the morning, did any of you remember 3 o'clock in the morning? Only if you got up to use the restroom, I'm sure. Most of you didn't remember 3 o'clock in the morning. But about that time, they were probably drowsy. Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost!" Wow. 27. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here. I'm the answer. Look to me. Focus on me. Look at me. Would you? Trust me. There's so many things that go into that verse. Don't be afraid. And maybe that's a message that somebody needs to hear today. You feel like you're all alone, but Jesus is walking on whatever storm you're in, and he's saying, take courage. I'm here for you and for yours. And I know what you're going through. You may be misunderstood. There may be lots of people that don't, but I know, and I'm here for you. Peter, he's a man of action. I love it. Verse 28, Peter called out to the Lord in the middle of this storm. I mean, he had to shout really loud, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. I love it, don't you? Peter doesn't get credit for that, but he initiated that. That was a step of faith in response to Jesus' command. He said, I'm here for you. He said, Lord, let me come to you. Let me come to you. Next verse, 29. Jesus said, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Wouldn't you call that distraction? Jesus said, come to me. I mean, walking on the water, but he was so frightened, got his eyes off of Jesus. But here's what he did. And one of the greatest short breath prayers in the Bible, he said, save me, Lord. He shouted it out in the wind and the waves. How many know that that's one of the best prayers to pray? Look at the different translations. Some say, he said, Jesus, save me. And that doesn't mean just salvation from our sins, though that's certainly a place to start when we go to the cross and say yes to Jesus. But in the middle of where we are, Jesus says, he says to you today, I am here. Come to me. But he's waiting for our heart cry, our call. Jesus, help me, save me. Do for me and in me and through me what I could not do for myself. And that's the essence of Kim's testimony. She had to get help and find deliverance and wholeness in Jesus alone. In Jesus alone. I like another thing, by the way, of this, because sometimes we think distraction is going to be dealt with and dealt with overnight and everything's fine. And man, sometimes that happens. Forgiveness is instantaneous, but sometimes we struggle. And after we say the yes, sometimes we struggle to get our footing in our course, don't we? There's all kinds of testimonies, but mine wasn't instantaneous, so it's not real. No, whatever your journey is, it's real, and God's in it, and Jesus is saying, come to me, come to me, come to me. Are you willing, am I willing, are we willing to humble ourselves and say, Jesus, I can't do it myself, I need help, Jesus, save me. Have you ever had that happen where you could have met a need in somebody's life, but you didn't know about it until they finally asked, and your first thought was, why didn't you ask sooner? I could have helped. I could have met you where you were a long time ago. That's the enemy trying to distract us with pride. I can fix myself. I can help myself. But Peter had the sense to say, save me, Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He just said, you should have faith in me, so I'm just going to let you suffer a little bit. I'm going to let you go down two times. I don't know if that's probably on a wives' tale, but I'm going to let you go down a few times. And when you've got a little bit of water in you and you're really scared, then I'm going to reach out and save you. No, the Bible says, what did he say? He said, it says that Jesus immediately, instantly reached out and grabbed him. And then he said, he rebuked him and he said, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? In other words, Jesus is trying to just put his hands under his chin, so to speak, and say, I am here. I'm the answer. Would you look at me? Look away from all of the things. And then what happened instantly after Jesus rebuked the storm? What happened? Peace and calm. Peace and calm. And I think that's probably what happened to Peter, too. When he was rebuked by Jesus, he probably spoke peace to him, and his heart was at rest. Jesus didn't judge him. He wasn't judging him here. He was just saying, I'm here for you. Will you trust me? Now, we can be critical of Peter, but I mean, the things that distract us most often are far less than something really traumatic like that. Wouldn't you agree? The things that we allow to take us under and out and cause us to drift, it's just so deceptive, whatever the story may be. But even the smallest things can lead us astray. And before we know it, we could be in a desperate situation that we can't get out of. I just feel like I need to keep saying that for someone, because some of you feel like you're beyond God's reach. You're not. You can see Jesus from wherever you are if you will just look to him. He's visible. He's there. Well, I need him to make the first move. He did. He walked on the water. That was the first move. But he wants you to just say, can I come to where you are? Is he ever going to say no? Clean yourself up, but get fixed first. No, he says, come to me just as you are, but warning, I'm not going to leave you as you were when you came to me. Amen. Jesus never turns it away. Just like I said, I've been reading the Old Testament. So redemptive. No matter the horrible things that happen, he's always working to bring restoration. That's what God the Father always does. So the enemy, Satan, is a master of distraction, using that in our lives. Trying to get our attention. Why? The bottom line is he wants to replace God in our lives, and he'll use all kind of things, but guess who's behind every idol that's lurking in our lives? Who's behind it? Who's behind it? And you know what he's saying to you? I want you to worship me. Well, I'm not worshiping you, Satan. I'm worshiping this or that or my kids or whatever. He's the one behind every idol. He's using good things to camouflage himself because he wants you to get you away from your source of help. He wants you to look away from what matters most in your life. And how many of you know you've had accidents and things that have happened because it's just a moment of lax and something can happen with horrible consequences so quickly because we get distracted. You may be thinking when you see Kim's story, I'm so glad that that wasn't in my life and I didn't have this addiction or that. And okay, that's just one story. But what's your story? That's the whole idea. My stories are to get us thinking about where God has met us and how he's coming on the water, how Jesus is coming in the water to where we are saying, I'm here for you. Like, okay, Jesus, but who's going to rescue me? Where's my help? Where's my help? No, he didn't do any of that. He just said, help. And Jesus had compassion and reached out to him. Oh. And so many things, the drift comes because we just get distracted by the smallest things. It doesn't have to be a substance. It can be a hurt that we carry. It could be unforgiveness. On and on it goes, where we get our eyes on people instead of focus on God. I mean, we can do that. We can watch a video. We can get critical in our hearts. Come on, that's a distraction. Don't miss the message. Jesus saying, look at me. I'm here for you. We just need to get in front of the mirror and say, hear Jesus say, I'm here for you. You know, and he'll put your name on it. I'm here for you, Nathan. And our response must be, can I come to you where you are? In the middle of the storm. Oh, we can get so careless. This pastor's heart is grieving. I talked about it last week because I see so many of people of faith for many years that are caving to culture, that are caving in so many ways and allowing truth sources into their life that they know not of. And they're being influenced and drifted away. Just step by step. It's not this free fall. It's just little by little, our hearts are growing cold. And Jesus said, no, get your focus on me. I am the answer. I'm the answer for everything we're experiencing in this life and culture. Would you come to me? Would you look to me? And I want us to wake up. I talked about convictions last week that they're from God and to God and they're markers in our life that help us keep track of where we are. But I just want you to think and pray about this as we move forward today and through this week, that if there's something that is distracting you, if it's not helping you to become all that God has created you to be, then it's a hindrance and it's not good. Listen, if it's not for the best, then it's not the best. Let's quit settling for less than best. Let's say, Jesus, I just don't want anything to come between you and me. In a close relationship, do you ever want another person or anything else? No, that's when problems arise. When things creep in and they distract us, no, nothing between us. Could that be the cry of your heart today? So if it's not helping you become, then it's harming. Would you call it what it is? So quickly, I want to just give you some things about focus, and I just put in my notes that focus matters most. And there's just three things that I want us to focus on. The first one I'll talk about briefly, and that is that we got to focus on God. And that's what this story was about through Jesus. We know that. Focus on him. And I know we know that, but the question I want to ask you today, are you doing that? I don't mean what did you do or what you're going to do, but are you doing that right now? Or is this thing in front of God, and is this thing an idol in your life that Satan's using to distract you and get you off course? Whatever that thing may be, it may be a person, it may be something. The second thing is that we are in the process of becoming. We so want an instant fix to everything, but our focus is on becoming, on growing, becoming more and more like Jesus. And then thirdly, we get that in line. We begin immediately to start focusing on others. So let's just unpack that a little bit. I often refer to and focusing on God. I love the translation from Exodus 2:3 that says something like this. It says, no other gods, only me. Is that pretty simple? No other gods, no distractions, nothing between us, only me. I am the Lord God over everything. That's the only firm foundation that we can build our lives on, that we can sing about as we did today. How many times have I been teaching on this lately? And some of you still furrow your brow when I mention it. But this loving God and keeping our focus on Him, that's where our want to and our feel like it come in. You understand? We want to keep our focus on God, but we feel like being distracted by things that are shiny and glittery and glamorous. But I am just saying, with God's power through the Holy Spirit, He can help us live for our want to and not according to our feel like it. And I'm not claiming that our feel like it's our sin. You follow me? Because there's just sometimes we don't feel like focusing on God because we want to be self-focused or other-focused or whatever. We don't feel like it. But if my heart has been surrendered, Lord, I want to keep running after You, coming after You. I won't stop. I'm going to tell you, your want to is going to trump your feel like it. And oh my, how we live in a world that is ruled by our feel like it's. Think about it. Jesus challenges with these words, and He's saying out of the context of this story, He was saying to Peter, but He's saying to us today, this great statement in Matthew 22:37, He said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind. How many of you know that's focus on God? That's, I will not be distracted, I will not be deterred, and I will correct it when I tend to be distracted because I want to get my focus back on Him. So I just want to ask you, is loving God first and foremost in your heart and mind? Not just giving Him your sin, but surrendering yourself and saying, God, it's my desire to please You in everything, to be fully surrendered, sold out to You. Everything. And don't just say everything, name it. Tell Him those areas where you want Him to have it all. I will hold nothing back, no compartments, Lord, in my life. I'm going to love You with everything I am. Knowing that later I'm going to know how to do that better than I can do it today. But how many know that all God requires today is that I give Him my all today. It'll look different tomorrow and next week, but I guarantee you that 10 years from now, He's going to say the same thing. I just want everything. Come to Me. I'm here for you. Some of us are pointing to that experience, but I like this because it's present tense active. Well, I did that once. Jesus said, come to Me, and I came to the cross. I said yes to Jesus. I said yes to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and because you did that and we've done that, He says right now, quick obedience, come to Me. And we just come to Him. Where else could we go but to the Lord? That's a sign of spiritual maturity, that we obey more and more quickly, moving toward those things that our heart desires. In that process, as we focus on God, we'll become, as I love that little song we've been singing lately, it keeps on getting better. He keeps getting better. Some people have trouble with that theologically but we always sang, sweeter as the days go by. It's the same thing, different language. We're on that life journey of becoming all that God's created us to be. And as the song also says, the good news for us, whatever age we are, if we're not dead, we're not done. Until we draw our first breath in heaven, He says, come to Me. You're always better when you come to Me where I am. And don't ever think you outgrow this prayer. Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Don't get too big for your spiritual britches. You need to humble yourself and go, I need help. I can't get myself out of this one. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in this. That's a prayer of surrender, is it not? We never outgrow that. In fact, the most humble, mature Christians are much quicker to get out of the boat and to be obedient and to come to Him to where He is, saying, help me when we get distracted. Well, becoming. I was looking up the scripture that talked about, I'm not yet all that I'm going to be, but I'm growing. You know, we're talking about saying more and more in all the circumstances that come. I want to be more and more and more like Jesus. I want to respond. I want to react like that. But I just want you to know it's a growth thing, because we can be so just judgmental and we can be distracted because we hear a testimony. Then we look at the person and there's a gap. But how many of you want to be looked at that way? If God's working in your life, you understand? We need to give Him a break. Say, they're not done. I'm not done. We're not done. God's working in us. Transformation isn't just instant. Yes, in our heart, but in the physical realm, transformation sometimes takes time. Is anybody being transformed right now? I feel like Stretch Armstrong or Gumby Man or whatever that was. Do you ever feel like that? Oh, I'm being stretched. I'm being pulled in so many directions. But I love it because I'm 65 and I'm still growing. And that's just not on the scales. I don't mean that way. A lot of us can relate to that after this last year, huh? Is that good news? I can grow. I can become more as I build my life on that firm foundation of Jesus. And then I want to focus on him, and I want to become. I want to welcome and embrace the process. And wherever I am, saying, Jesus, come into my realm. Right now, I need help. I know better. I've done this or that, but Lord, I need your help. And then thirdly, quickly, and we could talk about this forever, but we are going to be so others directed. Because we talk about it around here all the time. It's relationships with God and people that matter most. Relationships. Almost everybody that comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it's because of the influence of a relationship in this life. It's true. That was true from the very beginning. And God designed Adam and Eve for that intimate connection. We've talked about that in this series with himself and each other. But they were distracted, and as they were, they began to look to other things and long for it, though they had so much that was good. As Sheldon talked about, they began to long to be acquainted with evil, and they didn't need to know that because the good in God in them would expose all of that. And they chose to disobey God and their sin, and it wasn't just hurtful to themselves, but it was so hurtful to humanity as well. When Jesus gave the great commandment, love God with everything that's in you, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've got to come to this as well. Verse 31. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say judge your neighbor. It says love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these, all of these together. Is that sounding familiar by now? What are we about? Loving God. Loving people, living transformed. You know, it occurred to me as I was going over my notes again that as we do that, that's how we truly love ourselves, because that's where we find significance in doing his bidding and following his heart. My heart keeps on running after you. Do you understand it? That's what it looks like. No matter where you are, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus. And to me, that final thing is just that it's a powerful love focus, a powerful love focus. I remember a long time ago, a wonderful friend I had, Carl Noby, that I should calculate how many years older, but he was so good, such a mentor. He's the one that created jobs for me and my brother-in-law, who wasn't my brother-in-law then, but is now, and had us paint his building. I mean, there were like 2 inches thick paint on his building, his business, because he kept making up jobs for us. He took me to ball games and did all those kind of things, coached softball teams. And I'll never forget that in his older years, he said, you know, when we talk about our background of being Wesleyan, and we can make it so complicated in talking about holiness and sanctification, all those things. He said, I found something I want you to listen to. And it was an older gentleman. I don't even know the name now, but it was so impacting, because he said, what holiness is, it's a theology of love. Did you know that? Some of you think it's a theology of legalism. Where did you get that? It's a theology of love. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything in us, and say, God, there is nothing that I am not giving you access to my life. You are welcome. I say, come here. I'm coming to you no matter where I may be. And that's not just a statement I've made back then. That's how I'm going to live today. Theology of love. Don't be distracted. As we work through this series, you know, the place to start, if you've never come to a relationship with Jesus, you need to start by saying yes to him. That again is saying, yes, I agree with you, the work you've done, and I need it. I confess, I repent, I turn from my sins, and I turn to you. That's not the end. How many of you know that's the starting point? That's the starting point. And when you come to a place of greater, deeper surrender, even than that, you say, I don't want you just to be Savior, but I want you to be Lord of my life, and say yes, Y2HS, yes to Holy Spirit. That's not the end point either. So many people have understand that about holiness, think that's the end point. No, that's not a point of arrival. That's a place where you're free to live in ways you never thought possible, to keep your focus laser focused on God. He's saying, I'm here, but I can't do for you what I want to do until you open your heart and you say yes. Are you willing? Have you said yes? How's your love focus today? Remember that old Beatles song? I don't know what year it was recorded. All you need is love. If Kathy was on the keys, she'd start playing that. Not in church. That's really good theology, isn't it? You need God's love, and to have that, it's about his presence in us and through us, and through us. Well, I'm out of time, but I'm not out of ink. Let me just emphasize this again. Please, be careful not to invest heavily in things that don't help you become more and more of what God intends you to be. Some of you are stuck today because you're just so distracted. You're focusing on things that are not eternal. And they're not bad things, necessarily, not all of them. But they're just mindful choices that we make. And whatever those things are, I want to say it again, those become idols and we begin to bow down at the throne of those things. Fill in the blank, whatever it may be. You've heard this said, I'm sure, time and again, that if Satan can't make you bad, he'll just try to keep you busy. Agreed? Do you know what that is a definition of? Distraction. Is anybody like me in school or university? You hated busy work. Is anybody like that? Like, what does this have to do with my degree? Well, Satan wants to just keep you busy. He wants to keep you chasing a tail like a dog in the yard. And as stupid as it looks as of a dog in a yard, it looks just as silly when we do it. So busy. So busy, so busy. And we allow so much clutter in our lives that begins to distract us and we lose our focus and we can get lazy. We can slide so quickly, so quickly. Well, we're going to close here with prayer. Just let me give you a few action steps to think about and pray about. Wherever you are, the Lord is near. Humble yourself and cry out, Jesus, help me. Jesus, save me. Ask the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to bring conviction on you. That's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you any distractions in your life that are getting your focus off of God, that it could be turning into idolatry. Create new patterns to keep yourself on track. Accountability. Remind yourself daily of the plans and purposes that God has for you, that call that he has placed upon your life. And ask him to help you establish some early warning systems that will let you know when your focus is there. How do you know it wasn't bad that Peter went down? It was a good thing because that reminded him that he really needed Jesus. Oh, I like that. Did you hear that? I mean, if Jesus wouldn't have rescued him, he would have been a goner. He would have drowned. But sometimes Jesus allows us just to get wet enough that it's a wake-up call. I know he was already wet. Are you with me? I want to say that again. Peter sinking wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It was a good thing because that got his attention back on Jesus. Oh, that just gave me goosebumps. Some of you didn't get that. You're all bummed out about the things that's causing you to sink. Jesus said, no, it's a wake-up call, and you're looking to me right now. I'm here for you. Will you let him do what he wants to in you and through you? I'm going to invite you to stand if you can, if you care to. And I want to pray for you. We always use our altars and stairs a lot. We've kind of gotten away from it this last year when it was kind of awkward with distancing and all those things. But man, oh man. You can pray where you are. You can pray later. And I know you'll have to let this message soak in. And you'll hear those words. You'll hear in your spirit and your heart this week, Jesus saying, come here, come to me, come to me. I'm here for you. Peace, peace, peace. He'll say that. He'll reach down and pull you out of the water, wherever you may be. But there's just something about responding in obedience. It could be this testimony that we've seen about distractions creeping in and looking to other things for comfort. It could stir your heart with praise for Jesus rescuing you and pulling you out of a storm, and you're behind. You haven't given him praise and thanksgiving for it. It could be whatever. There's just a burden that you want to lay out to him, or you just need to come and say, Jesus, help me, save me. I need it right now. I don't know what to do. Can't fix it. Can't change myself. So I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you alone. For some, as I mentioned, you need to start by saying yes to Jesus. That's a relationship that's personal and real and life-changing. And for others, you need to say, I'm going to surrender fully. I'm going to say Y2HS, yes to the Holy Spirit, right here, right now, right here, right now. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for your stubborn love that always pursues us, that never lets go of us. You're always there, willing to lend a heart and willing to lend a hand, but you're waiting for people that are just that are willing to acknowledge your presence. And I pray today that someone would make that decision, first of all, to say yes to a personal relationship, yes to come back to a place where they departed, where they got distracted and ended up in the deep weeds, not to let Satan beat up and lie to them any longer. Identify the idols in our life that have become distractions, that have become idols, and help us to set things right and say, God, I'm going to keep coming after you. I'm going to keep running after you. I will not be distracted. I will not. I thank you that for every heart cry, your ear is attentive and you say, come to me. Nobody's too far, done too much, too far, nothing. There's no T-O-O, there's no two about it. You say, come to me as you are. And we thank you for the hope we have in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want to close by reading a couple scriptures. I think they may have it on the screen. I'm going to look at Philippians 3, and I just want to read it without comment. Yes, everything else is worthless compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. Can somebody say yes out there? Amen. And a couple more verses. On down to I'll just start at 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all that I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me up to heaven. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Father, for your presence here today. You've ministered to us in so many ways. Great songs that have honored you and blessed your name. I thank you for decisions that have been made and are being made now, and I pray that we would follow through. May our hearts keep running after you, running after you, running after you. And I thank you that you're here, your offerings, your hand, your heart, wherever we may be. And that's transformational as we focus on God and we focus on becoming more and more, and then we turn our focus away from ourselves to love and to share God's love with others. May it be a reality in our lives this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.